Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Haw, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Pressure from the Cardinals. Dalton across, off of Grant and intercepted. Jalen Thompson comes up with the pick. It's his second in the last three games. And Arizona's defense impactful early. Five-man pressure. Dalton rifles past the sticks. It's off the receiver and picked off by Buda Baker, one of the fastest men in the NFL. Andy Dalton trying to bring him down, and he helped out as Montgomery ran him down. There's a penalty flag all the way back, though, at the Arizona 25-yard line, which we'll have to sort out.
Illegal formation. Offense. Number 75 was not on line of scrimmage. That penalty is declined. The result of the play is an interception. First down, Arizona.
Cole Kmet, who's coming off one of his best games as a Chicago Bear, just could not hold on. Got the kicking leg on that. May have been the follow-through that they were looking at. But that ball is deflected. It's a moot point either way, as it's a third interception for Arizona. And this time it's Byron Murphy. Six pass breakups from this Arizona defense. They are so good at getting to the ball. Oh, he faked the screen, Dalton did, and then threw it the other way into the hands of Zach Allen. The third-year man out of Boston College just rumbled his way to an interception return. It's the fourth pick for the Arizona defense today.
I think today, just because you see it on both sides, I do think that weather was involved. But at the same point in time, our guys know that. They understand that. So you got to really look the football in. You got to be secure with what you do. And for us, like, we just right now, we don't have room for error with that offensively.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Matt Nagy, he's something special.
Just a word to the wise.
Yeah.
Again, there's so much that came out of yesterday that it comes to mind, yes, when you think about it. But if you are the coach of the Chicago Bears and you're playing in inclement weather, blustery conditions, and you're playing against a team that left Glendale, Arizona, 75 degrees in sunshine, probably not the best idea after you get beat by 11 to cite the weather as a factor in why your offense stunk. Probably not a good idea. You're probably not the team that should be affected by the weather, and you are not the coach that should be mentioning it, I would think.
So we have a texter checking in, and he says, I've lived in Chicago my whole life. Therefore, I'm a Bears fan. I want to be a fan of a winner, though. Cardinals look very good. Maybe them? Help me, Mully and
Haw. They used to be the Chicago
Cardinals. Well, that's what I was going to say. So. You know, that is the oldest rivalry in the NFL.
Technically.
And that rivalry began in 1920 when the NFL began in 1920. And at that point, the Bears were the Decatur Staleys, and I believe the Cardinals were the Norman – the Racine Cardinals, right? Because they were on Racine Avenue. The Cardinals began as the Morgan Athletic Club, And then they bought old uniforms from the University of Chicago. The University of Chicago, Jay Berwanger, the first ever winner of a Heisman Trophy.
The Maroons.
The Maroons, yep, were the monsters of the Midway. The
Absolutely.
Midway is, yep, in front of the University of Chicago.
There
if you haven't
go.
Been down there, you should check it out.
History 101 with Molly.
And so they bought the uniforms, used uniforms from the Maroons, and a player said to the then owner, "What the hell color is this?" And he said, "It's Cardinal Red." And they became
Bingo.
The Cardinals. And they go. Were in Chicago for the rest of that time. The Bears moved, and we know George Halas, they played where the Cubs did, and he said they were the North Side team, the Bears. If the Cubs are baseball players are Cubs, Bears, then the football players are Bears. So there's the two names of the two franchises.
Yep.
And then the Cardinals, off they go to St. Louis because they had lost a ton of fans. They really went into some dark years. I think they won the title in 47. I remember looking this up years ago. But anyway, so they ended up moving to St. Louis, and now they're in Arizona. And there are a ton of people in Phoenix from the Chicago area, like a
transplants.
Million people.
Absolutely. Transplant. And yeah. It seems like it's been since 1947 that the Bears have won at home. But it's only been October 3rd.
It's only 65
yeah,
days.
It's only 65 days.
It feels like
feels
years.
A lot longer, 65 years. That's how desperate they are for a victory at Soldier Field. That's what you watched yesterday with frustration, irritation. You heard it in the chants. You saw it in the faces. There was, you know, the best metaphor, as we mentioned, was the guy trying to pull the plastic covering over
yeah.
himself.
Oh. Yeah, the poncho.
How long did the poncho take to get on properly,
how come,
do you
how
think?
Come no one even bothered to help
that,
him?
That guy didn't
I
have
mean,
a friend in the
just
stadium.
Just turn to the right and hold down the bottom of the thing yeah, so his right. head could pop up. Yeah. My fear was that he was going to, like, it was going to be a Zeppelin situation. He was just going to take flight.
that was your metaphor if you wanted it. If not that, then you could have waited until the headset disconnected and the Bears couldn't communicate or collaborate, and it was a disaster offensively. Four turnovers, four interceptions by Andy Dalton. But yet, to me, Andy Dalton throwing the turnovers led to 23 points, but defensively the breakdown in the secondary was as predictable as you would have expected. This is a bad football team. The Cardinals are not. The Cardinals are the class of the NFC right now. You could see that team doing some damage in the playoffs. They travel well.
Yeah.
They play well on the road.
Problem is they're going to be home and they're going to get a bye.
I know. Post-game, Cliff Kingsbury was talking about, well, you know, he was asked about the road record 7-0, and he said something about we're not very good at home. They've got 10 victories. How bad can they be?
Yeah. Well, they lost a couple at home. All right. The Score Listener Line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
We'll start with Jack. Jack is on the road. Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning. I was watching that game yesterday, and my brother lives in Arizona. He texted me about maybe half an hour into the game. Who's quarterback? And I almost texted back, doesn't really make any difference. You know, I put Dalton, but anyways, yeah, I am exhausted. I really am. It was a perfect way to say it. I didn't know him, but I was like, that's it. I'm exhausted. I'm tired of the excuses, the leg, the this, the that, the same over and over and over again. Also, I'm glad you mentioned Cole Kmet. You know, I thought he was being underutilized, and when he had his chances, he blows it. He either fumbles, and he also has a lot of dumb penalties. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah.
The redundancy is the problem. The Bears are just really redundant, and the problems are very familiar. And you referenced the last time that a Bear quarterback threw that many interceptions was Matt Barkley, Christmas Eve in 2016. You go back to 2016 at the end of that season, it felt like the end of this one. There was apathy mixed with anger, and pretty soon you're going to approach irrelevance. That's what you can't except if you're George McCaskey. You cannot be irrelevant in a football city.
Right.
And the Bears are approaching that. Now, we can point to Cole Kmet. We can point to Xavier Crawford. We can point to all of the suspects and all of the problems with personnel. But the bigger picture is The Bears have to recognize what's happening here, and they cannot ignore the futility that they have created for themselves and the problem they have created for themselves.
And I want to be careful because I like Cole Kmet, and I think Cole Kmet can be a successful NFL player, and he's a local guy made good. So there's a lot to like about him. He's also a Bears legacy, right? His father was on the practice squad.
Frank.
And I got a lot of time for Cole Kmet. But he's got to play better.
Well, you know what?
He's got to be better. That's all it is. And I understand that it takes a little longer at the tight end position. But block better, catch the ball. That was not an interception. That was a Cole Kmet fumble.
And not to put words in your mouth, but I think what you're expressing frustration. You're reacting to what you saw yesterday. You're not saying that he can't play.
No.
Because I think everybody watches him and they see the potential, which is what makes these mistakes all the more frustrating.
Yes.
Because he shouldn't be fumbling. That was a fumble. He should have caught that pass. He knocked it into the air, and Baker did the rest.
Crazy.
He can't miss blocks. He can't drop passes. He's got to be more consistent. I think he will be more consistent. But right now, he's playing like a very young player and showing those kind of – that inexperience is leading to inconsistency you can't tolerate.
And if anyone really gave a damn about it, you would say to yourself, hey, the quarterback got hurt on that tackle, right?
Yeah.
Or was it the second one? Whatever.
It was the Buda Baker one, I believe.
So
because
there you go.
He made a nice play,
he
Dalton.
He did make a good
and
play.
And David Montgomery hustled to make it the tackle at the end, but that should bother you as a competitor if your mistake led to an injury by your quarterback that we don't know the extent to which how bad it is. It could be, today we find out that it's much worse than anybody thought yesterday.
Right. Johnny's on the road. Hey, Johnny.
Good morning, gentlemen. Football is a game of inches. And if the Bears only had a receiver on a field above 5'11" yesterday, they might have caught a few more balls. You guys have a great day.
Okay.
Okay. He said that. The first interception was a bad throw by the quarterback. Andy Dalton
was behind
threw the ball
him.
Behind Jakeem Grant.
Yeah.
But what the hell is Jakeem Grant doing slapping that thing to the opponent?
Well,
and Andy Dalton is right. Whenever a ball is deflected, there's a very good chance it's going to be intercepted. And the whole Jakeem Grant thing is bothering me now.
No, Jakeem Grant has bothered me since he arrived because
Thank
he
you.
Gave up a draft pick for him, and I'm never going to forgive him. I'm sorry. I can't get the catching the punt in the end zone out of my head.
And he had another one he should have caught, by
yeah.
the way. Did you see that? That
yeah.
bounced down to the 1 yard line.
But Molly, this is what desperate teams do. They turn to emergency alternatives. He is break glass in case of emergency. He is the Tariq Cohen replacement. He is a guy that they had to settle for. And I don't think that when you have to go to these options, you're going to get consistency.
No.
So he's not a very polished receiver at all.
Not at all. No. But I mean, I don't want to pick on him.
You just did.
I know. Rich is an alt. Hey, Rich.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, I have a comment about yesterday's game and a prediction. And what struck me is something that you guys are all over that kind of alerted me to this, and I started watching for this. The Cardinals are, I think, the blueprint for how to build a roster. When you look at their offense, defense, and special teams, whoever built their roster, because we got Pace, that guy knows what he's doing. Secondly, you got Green Bay rolling in this week, and they're a 13-point favorite. I looked it up. That's the biggest spread in the NFL. Is they're on to let's go hammer Nagy and make the other team a little bit interesting. But I'd be interested in your callers to see how they can possibly make a case for the Bears to do anything. Here's my prediction.
I can make it right now. Rich, can I make the case for you? Stomp on the guy's toe. That's the case, okay? All you got to do, step on that little toe. See ya.
Here's the prediction, and I did it two ways. I did it with Dalton. I got Green Bay 38-10 with Dalton, and if Fields plays 38-14, I think they're going to get annihilated. And I think that Nagy and Pace should be tested for dementia. I mean, for them to even
You broke up that,
yeah,
Rich.
We lost Rich.
If Justin Fields only means a 4-point difference, then Justin Fields probably shouldn't play if he's injured at all. I mean, I don't know. Again, that's going to be a conversation topic all week. What is his status? What they should they do?
Yeah.
If he is at all compromised physically, you have to accept reality. And the reality is, even with him at his best, you're going to be at a severe disadvantage. And I just don't know if it makes as much sense to put him in harm's way.
All right, we got to get to the pick six. We're going to get right to that, and then we're going to come back and take your calls at 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Jalen Johnson talked a big game about looking forward to Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins before the game and then surrendered a 21-yard touchdown pass on 4th and 2. You think he regrets that now, or does the fact that Hopkins didn't go off means Johnson, quote, won?
Well, he didn't win, I'll tell you that. I'm sorry. Listen, I liked his confidence. I liked what he had to say about taking on wide receiver, you know, number one wide receivers and all that. But man, 4th and 2, and you give up that touchdown, and you know, they initially ruled him out of bounds, and I really thought it was a touchdown from the naked eye. So I was like, they're going to look at that play, but he was, as Dustin said, signaling that it was, you know, that it wasn't a touchdown. He was puffy chested, and then it turns out you gave up a 21-yard touchdown on 4th and 2. That was rough, and I think that I think, you know, and I hope he's okay. He was out for a little bit. I like that kid. I think he's one of the players to watch. I think he's got a future, and I think he's the rarest of all corners, one you trust with the Bears.
Yeah, I like Jalen Johnson a lot, but I'm kind of with you, your stance on Cole Kmet. I'm starting to approach with Jalen Johnson. He talks a lot, and I appreciate that. Back it up. DeAndre Hopkins didn't go off because he didn't have to. He was targeted twice. He only threw 15 times. This was a preseason to the postseason game for the Cardinals. And Jalen Johnson, I understand the challenge is great, and it's going to get greater when you face Devontae Adams after DeAndre Hopkins, but this is what you signed up for. This is why you're here. And the big talk that you supplied during the week, it requires you backing it up more than he has, I think, this year. This has been he has shown you what he's capable of, which you like moving forward, but he also has found that consistency is difficult to come by. So, yeah, I like a lot of what you watch Jalen Johnson on tape. You like his feet. You like his physicality. You like a lot of the things that he offers you as a defense. But I think that, yeah, I'd like to see a lot more production and maybe a little less talk.
Pick six on a house call for Roquan Smith.
Did you like the way Matt Nagy answered a question about Tevin Jenkins remaining a depth piece this year?
Most likely. I mean, I don't know that for sure because we're going to work through it. But, you know, I think that for him, again, just getting him into the groove of just every rep he gets in practice, mentally, physically, you know, just getting him up now on the active is good. It's depth. And we'll see, you know, how these guys are doing. Again, I just go back to JP's been doing a good job there at left tackle. And I love Tevin's attitude. He's had a great attitude. He knows that he's improving each day.
Do you need to know more about Tevin Jenkins by the end of the year? Do the Bears?
Yes, of course they do. The answer tells me he's not ready. The answer tells me that they have concerns about his physicality, about his conditioning, about his health, about what his effectiveness. Maybe he's not the player they thought that he was when they moved up to draft him. That's a problem. And that's a problem for the next general manager, the next coaching staff. I think they have to play him to find out what they have. And if it comes at the expense of Jason Peters, okay, Jason Peters is a terrific pro. Maybe he comes back next year as in a mentor role. Maybe he comes back next year to help you at the age of 40, whatever. But I think you have to find out what you have in Tevin Jenkins, even if it's rotating him with Larry Borum at right tackle. You're not going to the playoffs. You are out of the hunt, thank you, Fox. So you've got to find out what you have on your roster. Tevin Jenkins is a player that you don't know much about, so you've got to play him to find out. even at the expense of other people's playing time.
Yeah, you know, I think the problem is that he's not ready to play. I honestly think that, you know, throwing him in on special teams, a way of kind of – I think you had to make a decision and you decided it was best for the team in the future of the player to get him on the active roster. So you did that. And that's pretty much all you did. He's not ready to play. And he hasn't really practiced and he hasn't really had enough time. And you're going to have to throw him into the fire before the year is out. There's no question about it. But I think it's going to be a little bit slower than people thought.
Pick six.
How will the Bulls keep the energy up tonight with Alex Caruso doubtful to play with a strained right hamstring? How difficult will it be with Coby White and Javonte Green on pauses due to COVID-19? Which Nikola will have the better game tonight? Jokic or Vooch?
The Joker or the Vooch? I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to this. I think they'll mix... They will miss Alex Caruso a lot because he's as good a defender as there is, and he is relentless, and he's going to break his tail, and I think you're going to miss that. And I also think that, running into depth trouble is real, and it's a problem, but it's both teams. You know, I think Jamal Murray's out. Who else is out? They got a lot of guys. They got a couple guys on COVID as well. So it's going to be a battle of the Nikolas, and I think that the Joker's probably going to win that battle, but I hope the Bulls win that war.
The good news is that Vooch is starting to play better, and he looks like he has gotten out of the COVID funk, the post-COVID funk, and he looks like he's playing a lot more comfortably in this offense with DeRozan and Zach LaVine, and that's good because if you have those three healthy, then, you need depth and you need energy and you need all those intangibles, but they do have enough, more than enough, to borrow Thibs' old phrase, to beat the Nuggets tonight. It is a game where you expect maybe a letdown because of how great the trip in New York went and what they're coming off of in terms of a victory over the Nets. So you would understand if they came out a little flat tonight. And you almost expect that a little bit. Could be one of those nights where either DeRozan or Zach – have to carry the Bulls in terms of scoring with one of those 35-plus nights. But maybe they get the big three clicking and they don't need any one guy to step forward. I still think the Bulls at home tonight can beat the Nuggets.
A pick six to end the half!
Did the College Football Playoff Committee get it right with the Final Four teams? What was your biggest surprise of the college football weekend? Did anybody get left out?
Well, I think Alabama was the biggest surprise. I didn't expect them to take care of Georgia as handily as they did. Georgia's defense, which carried them all year, kind of let them down in the clutch. But Alabama, with Nick Saban and doing what they needed to do, gave them a slight edge over Michigan. Michigan has an argument. Michigan definitely has an argument. They have played dominant football 2 weeks in a row, beating two quality opponents in Ohio State and Iowa. I don't know that it matters necessarily. I don't think the committee wanted to probably have Georgia-Alabama play the 2-3 game. Maybe that factored in, but I think ultimately the pedigree of Alabama and Nick Saban gave them the nod slightly over Michigan. Did anybody get left out? Cincinnati beat Notre Dame head-to-head. You can't argue with that logic when you look at Notre Dame on the outside looking in at number five. I thought that when Baylor beat Oklahoma State, what a finish. What a finish that game was in the Big 12. I hate to be the kid who came 6 inches short of the pylon, diving for that touchdown, and Baylor coming up with that stop. But Notre Dame got what they deserved. They're fifth. They're going to play in the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma State. That's going to be a great game.
Yeah, it was really it was something to watch those games. And my brothers both went to Notre Dame, so the email – thing started with Oklahoma State, you know, that oh my God, one, that's one down, all we need is one more, and then you were watching as the desperation kicked in and they were losing these because they were very pumped up, as everybody was after watching but you're right. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's great to have a rock star coach, Marcus Freeman, but unfortunately you did lose to Cincinnati under the other guy, so you won't get your chance to do the old Steve Fisher routine.
That was Brian Kelly's team.
Make that argument. But I thought that the committee really didn't want to do a complete run back of Alabama-Georgia, so they decided to wait a week with it. That's what their thinking was, and You know, what are you going to do?
Pick six.
What was your reaction to Minnie Minoso getting inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame after all these years? Was the enthusiasm dampened by Dick Allen not getting in?
No, not for me. I was really pleased to see Minnie Minoso get in. I think that, you know, when you think about, you know, we all remember, what was it? He was playing like in every decade, and he was, you know, there's so many Minnie stories, and it's just great. I mean, this is the first, this was the first black player ever on the Chicago White Sox, the first black Cuban player in Major League Baseball, the first, one of the first kind of Latino stars after the color barrier was broken. And it's just a, you know, his legacy is really a wonderful thing. And you know, I'm just so delighted for him and for the family. I mean, you wish these things would happen when people were alive, but it means a lot to have a legacy like that. And I think that the White Sox did a great job by him staying with it and pushing him and trying to get him in. And it took a long time, but I think he belongs in. And the breakthrough apparently was understanding that the Negro League statistics yep. would matter when you put it together. And then once you did that, once you decided to do that, you go to like Baseball Reference and you see his numbers.
Great point. He had 2,100 hits when you combine the two league statistics, and he is deserving as they come. He was the Latino Jackie Robinson. He was a trailblazer, a pioneer, and nobody embraced baseball and loved it as much as Minnie Minoso. And congratulations to him and his family and the White Sox for pushing this after the fact. And, you know, he didn't get in the conventional way, but he is in and he is deserving. 12 years with the White Sox, Mr. White Sox, good old number nine. And Mully, whether it's in Chicago or back in Cuba in Havana where he still has family and was lucky enough to be there 6 years ago this month visiting with his family. And I can tell you that they were waiting for this moment as well over there. This means a lot in Cuba. It means a lot in Chicago. And it's great for the game of baseball. Minnie Minoso getting what he deserved.
Can you believe this? Pick six.
Are you expecting it to be another decade before Loyola and DePaul square off in college basketball? Now that Loyola underscored its status as the best college basketball program in Chicago with a 68-64 victory over DePaul, could you imagine a Big Five-style tournament in Chicago like they have in Philadelphia?
Who wrote that question?
Sounds like you.
That had
Dustin.
To be. Oh, boy.
Go Ramblers!
Yeah. Well, you know what? Loyola should brag today. That bragging rights mean something. They beat DePaul. DePaul's off to a very good start, but they ran into a very good program and a very good team in Loyola. Lucas Williamson is approaching. Has he got tenure yet? Has he been there long enough for that? That's a very deep team. They know how to win. I think that came to the fore that down the stretch. They knew exactly what to do, and they you trust that. I'd love to see that kind of tournament in the city. That's a good idea. I wonder about the execution. Where would it be? They could figure out the details.
Oh, come on. You could figure that out.
Yeah, but I think it would be fun, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, the Big Five in Philly is Penn, LaSalle, St. Joe's, Temple, and Villanova. And they all they play each other. You know, it's fantastic because I think what's great about it is one of those teams has been in the NCAA tournament, at least one of them, for 42 consecutive years. So that obviously is not the case Chicago, but you could do if you could get DePaul to agree to it and Loyola to agree to it and Northwestern to agree to it and Chicago State would be on board and UIC, you could do the same thing and you would represent different conferences. And I think it would be a wonderful thing to just do for the game
would
in the city.
Would you need a sixth?
No, they it's a Big Five in Philly. Why not have a Big Five here? Who's your sixth?
I don't know. If you need a sixth for, you know, a kind of a round robin type of thing.
You need a Big Five for a Big Five.
Bring in Notre Dame. Bring in NIU. Bring in somebody like that.
Illinois? Northwestern is the Big Ten team, right?
Yeah, I don't think you need Illinois.
Well, I'm just saying.
That would be fun, though.
Well, it would be wonderful. And, yeah, Northern is not far away, right? And congratulations to Northern, by the way, Chirp Chirp, for the MAC championship.
I mentioned it earlier, but you didn't have to rub it in.
I didn't rub it in. I'm
happy for them. I watched part of that game. I know you're happy for
too.
Me.
I watched part of that game,
too. They ran all over Kent State.
They sure did.
We digress.
Yeah, feel good about the Ramblers winning that game. That's all I got to say about it. And, yeah, stop ducking them. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
So our headsets went out for basically the whole second half. So when we were backed up, it's like high school out there, trying to yell the plays that you're getting from up top. We started doing that before we had the walkie-talkie. So when Bill's giving me the play, I got to yell it down to Andy and make sure he gets it. And then a couple series later, we got the walkie-talkie, which is clear for Andy. So I'm basically the conduit to Andy and Bill. And so that's what we did.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy, and inquiring minds wanted to know.
Yeah.
Was he calling plays? Was he not?
Boy, that was a line of questioning postgame that I thought went on a little bit longer than probably you would have expected. Hey, gang, doesn't matter who's calling the plays. This team's not getting in the end zone. 22 points, don't let that fool you. This is not a team that's functioning at an NFL level in terms of an NFL offense. When you watch the rest of the league, you realize just how limited the Bears are offensively, and it's like you're watching two different sports. You're watching the NFL and the offenses everybody else runs, and then you're watching the Bears and how limited they have become offensively. So whether their headset was broken, whether they could communicate with Bill Lazor in the press box, inconvenient, yes. Impactful? That's a stretch.
I got to tell you, I mean, I get it. I get why, you know, we caught him. He's calling plays. There he is. He's clearly calling plays.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to straighten it all out and you make up some story about the headphone going out so they don't know that you're really calling plays.
Oh,
whatever
boy.
It might
well,
be.
Yeah.
Whatever the latest conspiracy theory is. I'm exhausted by that whole concept.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to put it. Yeah, it's exhausting. Let me ask you this, though, before we get to the phone calls. Maybe some callers will have some ideas. 312-644-6767. What would you name the flea flicker that worked? What was the name of that play, do you think? Did they have holiday theme name?
Yeah, it was Santa Nearly Sacked.
Santa
Slay. How about Dalton almost run over by a reindeer?
Well, that was a pretty nifty play, though, wouldn't you say?
I think they were lucky that he avoided the rush because
he was lucky
he
to
was
avoid the rush.
That was because they completed the play as a result of that. But yeah, I mean, you know, listen, God bless them; they're very creative.
It's yeah, longest completion of the day, I believe. Yeah. But other than that, can you believe Andy Dalton didn't throw the ball 20 yards downfield?
No,
at all.
Well, you called him the squirt gun, right? The red squirt gun?
I did not call him that.
Yeah, I believe you did.
Was that earlier in the season, maybe?
That was a joke.
That sounds mean.
It was typical of your undercutting
okay.
of a great, great talent. 312-644-6767. Let's get back to the phone lines. Ted's on the road. Hi, Ted.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm a Chicago-born Bears fan. I go back to Doug Atkins, Rudy Bukich, and Billy Wade.
Yeah.
Moved to Milwaukee for work and had two sons. I dressed them up in Packers gear when they were small because I wanted them to fit in their community. But no, they wanted to be like Dad. So, and I can't think of what a disservice I did to those boys by having them follow me and be a Bears fan. I mean, this team is terrible. You know, there's a line from the old movie Crocodile Dundee where Linda Kozlowski says, "Crocodile doesn't know. Doesn't care, lucky guy." And that's Bears management. They don't know and they don't care.
Well, that
thanks
that,
for the phone call.
Yeah, I haven't heard a reference to that movie in a very long time.
It's a very dated reference, but not a bad one.
Didn't she marry Crocodile Dundee? Didn't they I can't even think of the guy's name, but I believe those two crazy kids got married in real life.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah,
I'll have to double-check that at the break.
That guy worked on the Sydney Harbor Bridge, and he started calling into a radio show. I'm not making this up. And he ended up getting on television, and then he became Crocodile Dundee. It's pretty unbelievable.
That's a pretty unbelievable story. But, Ted, don't question your parenting skills. Everybody, you know, don't let the Bears bring you to that that point. It's not that bad. You're still a great dad, Ted.
Oh, God. We all try as parents.
We do.
And we all fail. So that's just the reality of life. Adam is on the road. Hello, Adam.
Morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to say the hardest part about being a Bears fan, okay, amongst all the hard parts about being a Bears fan, yesterday, four turnovers, and I believe at least two of them were not the passer's fault. And, you know, they still end up, you know, you take out those turnovers, and it's at least a game,
Adam,
you know?
Adam, okay, so, thank you for the phone call, but when you have that many interceptions to categorize into how many were the quarterback's fault and how many weren't, that means you're talking about multiple interceptions. That's still not what you want. That's less than ideal. Okay.
Of course, yes. But especially at the inopportune times that the ball was turned over there. And all I'm saying is that it gives you that hope that you could go on saying, oh, well, if it wasn't for those four turnovers, we could have easily been in that game. And going forward, it gives you that sense of hope, and it ends up in the Bears missing the playoffs every year, you know?
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah.
I have to share this. Ted sort of triggered these memories of parenting of decisions he made. So, you know, when I came to Chicago to cover the Bears, my son was probably three.
Uh-huh.
He was two or three. And Ed made the decision, like we were living, you know, up north. And, and I remember going to consciously and buying him a Brett Favre jersey. Now, he's not a big football fan. He's a hockey guy, but he was three. And I remember consciously buying him a Brett Favre jersey because I did not want to, at that point in time, expose it. Like, I was thinking, okay, I have a decision to make here. I'm going to be covering the Bears. Do I want him to follow the Bears? Do I want him to... You know, I was objective, whatever. But there's a picture of him as a three-year-old in a Brett Favre jersey that speaks to, if you want to call it a parenting mistake or if you want to call it a parenting, you know, stroke of genius. But it was a parenting decision. I can relate to Ted.
Yeah, I've told you this before. Watching my son grow up, and he's 17 now, you know, we would go all the sports, everything he did, we would go dutifully and watch. And all his buddies, everybody had... Whoever was the popular player, there wasn't the same kind of got to wear a bear shirt. It was like, there were a lot of Cam Newtons when he was at the height of his ability.
Like the trendy player?
The trendy
more
player.
More than a trendy team.
I saw Rodgers jerseys all over the place. I did not see a lot of Bears jerseys. And that's just being honest about it. And I think kids, more so than ever, kind of go with the popular guy and the best player.
And that's what's exciting about Justin Fields, because he is that trendy guy.
Right. Maybe he'll be,
He transcends allegiance that are civic allegiance, or if you're rooting for the Bears, he's cool. It's cool to be a Justin Fields fan.
Perry is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Perry.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Happy holidays.
Bless you.
Hey, quick comment about the if you would like, I've got another holiday jingle for you guys to hopefully lighten the mood.
Perry, you have a beautiful voice. Go ahead.
You do, Perry.
If you want.
No.
So, hey, on the Bears, I mean, this is all a bunch of, you know, talk. Until the ownership gets serious and says, you know, this direction is not the right direction. So, I'm sorry, Ted, go build a stadium or stay away from football completely. And they get in somebody who will pick the right GM and the right coach. This is all just, I think, same old, same old.
I agree with that.
But anyway.
Croon away, Perry.
All right, man. Hey, a little bit of a Michael Bublé kind of thing here. So, ready?
Please.
All right. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jim Harbaugh is coming to town. He's reviewing the roster and checking it twice. So figure out who's staying or who's taking a flight. Jim Harbaugh is coming the town. He knows the defense is aging. He knows the O-line can't play. He knows the roster needs playmakers. So we'll give more draft picks away. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jim Harbaugh is coming. You know, the Michigan coach will beat Ohio State. Is coming to town.
Oh, Perry. All right, Perry.
Take a bow. Perry.
We're going to have to get Perry like an album deal for Christmas.
Thank you, Perry.
It's have a good day, guys.
You too.
It's a very, very Christmas.
I like the sentiment. I like the execution. I like seeing Dustin cringe.
It's barely Christmas.
Bears.
I should have gotten the context of that before I put that on.
Thank you.
Look at you.
That was a great decision by you to put.
If you were watching on Twitch, Molly was enjoying it, and David was very happy. That was David's early stocking stuffer, if you will, on St. Nick's Day, right?
I would prefer a version that has John Harbaugh coming to town. I think I mentioned that earlier.
If you can get both of them here, I don't know about that decision to go for two last night, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that was a very odd decision. Although John Harbaugh had reasons for making it.
Yeah, they were out of corners. Like
They were all out of corners. I'd be happy with John and Jim, but hey, if Jim's coming to town as Perry crooned, that's a good Christmas.
I need John and Jim. Jim's not enough.
That's a good Christmas, Chicago.
Wow, okay.
My kid's not going to ask for a retro Jim Harbaugh number 4.
That would be the sweetest jersey you could have in her closet.
That might be a good gift for David Haw.
Oh, I would.
A retro Jim Harbaugh
number 4. I would love
a
retro Jim Harbaugh number 4. I'm a big fan of number 4. I wore number 4. Jim Harbaugh wore number 4.
There you go. Look at all the connections we're doing here.
I love it. All right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Happy holidays, everybody.
All right. Yep.
Mully, Ray, and Dust are going to have to pass the hat.
Yeah. A few times. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports. We got Big's Time
Big's
next,
time.
I believe.
Big's Time. Yep.
Big's Time is next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.